Once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, at this time in our service, we put our hymn books down and we pick up your word. And I pray tonight you would have for us just what we need. I pray through the power of your Spirit, I would share the message that you would have spoken and that it would be meaningful and that it would certainly please and honor you. Keep me from saying what ought not to be said and help me not to forget what you want spoken here tonight. We continue to pray for the Flemings and the sudden turn of events just within this past less than a week. And we do pray for Mark's health and endurance. Our days are numbered, Lord, and you know their heart's desire that Cassie be able to make it home in time to see her father before you take him home. We pray your will to be done, Lord. Help him to be able to endure the things that are happening. May the professionals be able to keep him comfortable according to your will. And we'll thank you now, trust you. In your name we pray, amen. When you, Andrew, you need a name, don't you? A title for this thing, don't you? Sorry about that. Let's back that up and start over again. You know, you used to be able to do that with recorders. You could just back it up and start it again. Well, anyway, let's call this one Make No Mistake. Make no mistake. When you hear the word security, what comes to your mind? What contributes to the word security as far as you're concerned? The Lord, God's hand, salvation, eternal security. Under his wings? Okay. You're all too spiritual. Yeah.
But I think a roof over your head, food in your cupboard, and money in your checkbook.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're bringing it down. Emily.
I'm just thinking less stress.
Less stress? Okay. See, those aren't such spiritual answers. I had in my mind the word unchangeableness. Does that suggest security to you if something is unchangeable? I didn't hear that.
Predictable.
Well, then that's because it never changes. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to where this is not the main portion we're going to be looking at, but I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5, and let's begin at verse 34 this evening. Acts chapter 5 starts at verse 34. This brings us, what's the context of this? This new thing of Christianity was just growing. Acts chapter 2, the church was born. The Holy Spirit had come on the day of Pentecost, had filled those believers. Peter preached that first message. Over 3,000 people were saved and were baptized, and the church began to grow there in the city of Jerusalem. Something like that, with thousands of people being changed, you could not hide it, and things were not happening without it getting people's attention. And because it was of the religious nature, this new thing of Christianity, it was especially getting the attention of the established religious leaders there in Jerusalem. And what was the religion there in Jerusalem at that time? Huh? Judaism. Judaism. The Jews and their belief in the Old Testament and the Scriptures. Were they appreciating this new thing that was happening in their city? Yes or no? No. In fact, they very quickly exercised, the leaders of the Jews exercised their influence in even getting some of the most notable of these Christians, like the apostles, Peter, James, and so on, even thrown in jail sometimes because they did not appreciate what was happening. With that as the background, let's look at verse 34. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. In other words, when it says he commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, it meant this man Gamaliel, a noted Pharisee, he said, I want to put those men over there. I want to talk to you. And so he didn't want these apostles to hear what he was going to say. And he said unto them, these men now on his side, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves as to what you intend to do as touching these men. Men, you better be careful what you're thinking about doing with these Christians. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man, there rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and he drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And here's the gist of it, what we're coming up here now. And now, I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it's going to amount to nothing. But if this is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest happily you're going to be found even fighting against God. God. This man, Gamaliel, understood that when God is doing something, man can't stop it. Our series, Things I Know, and tonight some words from a man who was referred to as the wisest man who ever lived. Wasn't Gamaliel. Who was the wisest man that ever lived? Solomon. And the wisest man wrote some interesting words about what God does and our security that is involved with that. Turn if, now here's our portion of scripture, if you would turn, if you can find it, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Where in the world is Ecclesiastes? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. That made it easy for you, didn't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Not 4, chapter 3. And I want your eyes especially to fall on verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Andrew mentioned a moment ago, you know, it's something about reading through the scripture and Jonathan's little gold, new little golden tidbits. This is one of those little golden tidbits that, I mean, you can read through these portions, but all of a sudden, something, the truth that's in this 14th verse, I think it's outstanding. Make no mistake, Solomon teaches us what he knows about the works of God. And what does he know? Very simply this, nothing can ever change God's works. Is that security? Yes or no? That is security. Nothing can ever change God's works. I know, that's our series, Things We Know. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. That's why Gamaliel, back there in Acts chapter 5, told those men who had evil intentions regarding the apostles, he said, I want to caution you, you'd better be careful what you do. Now, if this work that is growing up is of men, don't worry about it. It's not going to amount to anything. But if this is of God, we can't stop it. And you're going to find yourself fighting against God. I know, Solomon said, that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. It shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. That simply means you can't add anything to what God is doing. Nor can you take anything away from what God is doing. Sounds like Solomon is saying, when God is working, nothing can change him, add more to it, or take anything from it. That's exactly what Solomon wants us to see here as he wrote this in Ecclesiastes 3:14. How can that be true? Why is that true? In Malachi 3:6, the prophet said, I am the Lord, I change not. What words of security for us? Nothing will ever change him. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, Isaiah wrote, He is the high and lofty one, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. How do we know that whatever God does, it's going to be forever? Because God doesn't change, and because God is eternal. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, refers to God as the eternal God. He's not going to be changing. Let me read for you Psalm 90, verse 2. It simply says this, Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It's hard to comprehend. I tell you this, I admit it. I tell myself I know God is eternal. I know that God has always been. Before there was anything, He will always be. After there is nothing of this old world, and it is a new heaven and a new earth, and things are going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. I know that, I read that in Scripture, but can I tell you, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around a being that has always been and will always be. I operate in the start and finish. Don't you? And I have to accept it by faith. I mean, I haven't always been. There was a time when I was conceived and born. Someday I'll die. And that'll be it as far as my human life on this earth is concerned. But God, He inhabits eternity. He lives in eternity. That's security, isn't it? That is security. Well, I'd like us to look at some references to strengthen our belief in Solomon's knowledge about God when he said, I know that whatever God does, it's going to be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor can anything be taken from it. It's going to last. It's going to endure. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, we were in Psalm 33. And in that 11th verse, one of the verses we closed with, we saw that the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the psalmist said. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord, those determinations that he has made, they stand forever. Just like what Solomon said, I know that whatever he does, it's going to last forever. It's not going to be here today and gone tomorrow. But we can count on that. That gives us great security. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, we read, "There is no wisdom nor counsel against the Lord." No wisdom or counsel against the Lord. There is no wisdom wiser than God. And there is no power that is going to tell God, "You won't do that. You can't do that." There is no wisdom or counsel or determination against God. That's security. Now let's look at some references here. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 9, verse 12. Job chapter 9, verse 12 tells us this. "Behold, he," God, "taketh away." If God wants to take something away, remove something, keep something from happening, he says, "Who can hinder him? Who can say unto God, what doest thou?" Is there anyone, any power that can look God in the face and say, "What do you think you're doing?" There isn't any, is there? Now there is a sadly deceived creature who thought that he would be like God one day, but he found out he was mistaken, didn't he? And he is already a defeated enemy, but he is so deceived, he's not going to give up until the end. And the book of Revelation spells it all out for us, that even after being bound in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years, when he is released, Satan is going to go out to the four corners of the earth, and he is going to try to gain a group of people that would help him overthrow God. What do you think the outcome of that's going to be? It's not going to work. Because in the book of Hebrews, we already read, he was destroyed. And he's a defeated enemy. And he's a deceived enemy. The great deceiver is the most deceived being ever there was. To think that he could possibly overthrow God in the end. So as we look at this, Job said, you know, well, who is there that can look at God and say, hey, you can't do that, there in Job chapter 9, verse 12, or say unto God, what do you think you're doing? In Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, we read a portion in Daniel this morning, but not that 35th verse. In Daniel 4:35, we read this: "The inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay or stop his hand or say unto him, what are you doing?" That was what Nebuchadnezzar, the man who ate grass, one day came to realize when he lifted up his eyes and admitted that he was wrong and God was right, and God gave him this understanding. And his understanding came back to him, and he realized, what an awesome God you are. There is no one that can stop you or question what you're doing. Because when you put it into motion, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, whatever God does, it's going to be what? Forever. It's going to be forever. Isn't that comforting to your heart? But you know, to me, it's also awesome as I think about this God who is so powerful. As we think of these two, the Job reference and this Daniel reference, in Proverbs 19:21, it tells us this. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart. That means plans. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Psalm 33:11, Proverbs 19:21. Let's look at another reference to support what Solomon knew concerning the Lord as he wrote about it there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A familiar verse in the book of Numbers in the writings of Moses. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it tells us this. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Isn't that the way God works? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Security. Our God. He does what he says, and he means what he says. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. We see more verses to fortify Solomon's knowledge regarding the Lord. I know that whatever he does, it shall stand. You can't take away from it. You can't add to it. It's as God says. Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. That, I can't tell you what that means to me. I marvel at that. Can you declare the end of something from the beginning before it ever even happens? Yes or no? But you know, God is God, and God has already declared how all this is gonna work out. We look at this old world and we think of all of the mess that it's in and the direction that mankind is taking this world, and we ask ourselves, where is it? How is it all going to turn out? He knows. He's already declared the end from the beginning. Before it ever even started, he already declared how it was all going to end. The things that are not yet done. We can't do that, but he can. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country, Daniel chapter 4, God sets up and takes down those that he intends to rule and reign in this earth. God does that. And he picks the ones that he intends. And it says, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Is that security? Yes or no? As we think about God. All right, Pastor. You know, those are some pretty awesome statements about God here, that nothing can ever change him, and what he has established, you can't add to it, you can't take it away. But what's all this mean for his people? I mean, after all, we can write these verses down and we can tuck them away in our Bibles, and we can perhaps utter a praise you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you are so dependable and so trustworthy. But knowing and serving and having a God like this, what does that mean to you and to me? In Joshua chapter 23, verse 19, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to it, as I think about this, I thought Joshua said it quite well. Joshua, at the end of his life, God had used him to distribute the promised land among the children of Israel. After Moses was taken home to glory, Joshua was the man God chose and used. And as this book comes to a close, Joshua is reminding the people, knowing he is nearing the end of his life, just what the Lord has done for them. In the 19th verse, I'm sorry, 14th verse, there is no 19th verse. In the 14th verse, listen to what Joshua said. And behold, this day, I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. What does this mean to God's people? What does that mean to you? We can trust him. We can trust him. Security. He is unchangeable. We can count on God. He doesn't say one thing and then do something else. And as Joshua neared the end of his life, he said, you know that everything God promised to us, we have seen his hand fulfill. He didn't fail us in one thing. Isn't that security? Years later, Joshua had been dead and gone for a long time. Solomon, Israel's third king, is offering a prayer, praising the Lord. And listen to, in that prayer, as he is, as he dedicates the temple that God had enabled him to build. David, you know, supplied all of the building supplies, but it was Solomon, and it was during his leadership that actually oversaw the construction of the temple of the Lord. And at Solomon's prayer of dedication, listen to this in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. We can trust him. Nothing is going to change what he has promised you and me. We close with Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And why does God do it like this? So that we might fear him. So that we might reverence him. So that we might worship him. So that we might trust him. How can he do that? Because he's God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, there is nothing too hard for God. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, there is nothing too hard for God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you have given us these words of your might, your power, and even as we've titled this, make no mistake, Lord, there is no mistake regarding your dependability, your power. We thank you that we can trust what you've told us. We don't always understand how you're going to work things out, but if you've said it, you're going to do it. Strengthen our faith in you as we go our way. May this little verse be a blessing to our hearts as we ponder its truth and your reliability and your ability that Solomon highlighted. In your name we pray. Amen.